Yes, indeed, we are answering the call of love. Each year on Canvas Sunday, the minister, that'll be me, is charged with delivering the Sermon on the Mount. I know. So as I was preparing to write my sermon for today, I noticed the title of the books that were spread out on my desk: Braving the Wilderness, Daring Greatly, Faith, Trusting Your Own Deepest Experience, Rising Strong. Somehow those titles string together like prayer beads gave me the inspiration for the words I'd like to share with you today. So yes, each year we make a plea for members to pledge to support our church. The Canvas team, the board, the finance committee, and the minister, we get together to put together a budget and send out pledge letters to you. A budget that is responsible, feasible, a budget that really reflects not only our basic needs to survive, but also some of our aspirations and our dreams. A budget that is feasible and accountable to our present commitments and hopefully allows us to begin to make some of our dreams a reality. Now, some people stay away from church on this Sunday on purpose, so I'm really grateful that you're here. I get that. It's like when you're watching your favorite show on PBS, and then the membership pledge drive comes on offering you CDs and books and things, and you know you want to change the channel. Please don't change the channel. But you know what? Lately, I've been watching those pledge drives, and it has reminded me of a time when I was a young single mom, and my son and I would watch Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street and other programs that encouraged him to be himself, that encouraged him to ask questions, to explore his feelings, and to think about how he was treating his neighbors, his friends. And it helped me as a single mom to feel less alone and like somebody was teaming up with me to offer my son a shape of a moral compass that was loving, compassionate, generous, authentic. I really think about how he reacted to things that happened in school or things that he saw in the news, injustice, another suffering. And I realized that some of the ways that he reacted had to do with the messages and the songs that he heard on PBS. He heard, "It's you I like. It's not the things you wear, it's not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, but it's you I like. Every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. And I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you I like." Those PBS programs taught my son to believe in himself, helped me to shape my own motherhood, to choose kindness and generosity in a world that is often very scary for little boys. And the pledge drive reminded me that those programs were made possible by people like me. Not the big corporations. this church has a lot in common with PBS, don't you think? And again, please don't change the channel. So I've been thinking a lot about where and from whom I learned generosity, both spiritual generosity and financial generosity. And as a single mom, I learned to be super mom, to keep it together, to hide trouble from my son, to hide those utility bills. I remember living in New York City and getting those Con Ed bills with an envelope with a red stripe on the side and a big stamp that said overdue. I hid those from him. I worked 3 jobs just to keep a roof over our heads. It was a lot of responsibility, and I felt the stress. And we survived. And we thrived. Beyond survival, we managed to live happy lives, to share moments of great joy, to celebrate accomplishments, and more importantly, to love each other through all the times, good and not so good, to trust each other that we would take care of one another no matter what. We were home to each other. We are home to each other. As a child, I attended my grandmother's Catholic church. During the offertory, we placed an envelope in the offering place every Sunday. My grandmother was a widow who had raised 4 children on a school teacher's salary, a 1-room schoolhouse in a small mining town in northern Chile. And like many teachers, even today, she was used to bringing to the classroom her own chalk, pencils, notebooks, and even the milk and bread for her students' breakfast. She was also a healer, providing her students' mothers with free herbal treatments, and most importantly, a compassionate ear and a compassionate heart. On Friday evenings, she would volunteer to clean and decorate the sanctuary. These flowers are in her memory and her honor. On Thursday evening, she would volunteer to teach catechism, the equivalent of religious education. On Sundays, I watched as she would solemnly deposit the envelope into the offering plate, and I always wonder, how did she manage to give anything at all? And then she would slip me some coins to deposit in the offering plate. I didn't know the concept of tithing then. I just remember her hands. Hands dusty with chalk, holding another smaller one, guiding it while teaching to write. Hands coated with herbal salves that healed and blessed a hurting body. Hands that danced as they made beautiful flower arrangements. Hands that deposited into mine coins that were meant to be shared, to teach me the importance of giving, the cultural pride in cultivating a spiritual practice of abundance thinking. Years later, when she was no longer among us physically, the church that we attended replaced its dirt floor with beautiful, shiny black and white tiles, replaced the rickety, mismatched chairs with solid, beautiful, solid wooden pews. And when the church opened a soup kitchen, when it became a sanctuary for those being persecuted and oppressed, when I could join a church youth choir, and when I could accompany the nuns and the priests that went to the hospital and took us on as youth chaplains to offer communion to the people in the hospital, I could feel the warmth of my abuelita's hands blessing all of this. I felt her presence when I put my offering in an envelope, proud to write my own name on it, proud to continue my grandmother's legacy of generosity and cultivating hope for the future, leaving me a legacy of generosity of spirit and a spiritual practice of giving, not only for the present, but for the next 7 generations. Today, I feel the same presence when I give to this church, of which I am a proud member. Now, not every minister decides to become a member of the church that they serve. I signed the membership book because I feel part of this congregation. I feel part of this community, and I am committed to its mission and vision. I recognize this community as a sanctuary, a source of hope, a source of joy and healing. I know that every amount helps to sustain us, to keep our doors open, to offer quality programs, and to offer ourselves to the world as a refuge and a beacon of hope. When I found out that it takes $1,500 per person per year to run this church, that helped me to decide how much I could give. We are Unitarian Universalists, members of an association. Being UU means that we are responsible for our own finances. Whether we're buying property, building the church, buying equipment, turning on the lights, hiring staff, running programs, paying insurance and taxes, we, the members, make it possible with our annual pledge. From the UUA, we receive support such as our RE curricula, development of policies and procedures, support for a shared ministry, and from their leaders and their staff, we get guidance about how to insert ourselves during times of need in this nation. The UUA has programs addressing poverty, racism, immigration justice, the environment, reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights, among many others. We are part of that. We are members of that kind of association. Being members of the UUA allows us to participate in the larger movement and as delegates in our General Assembly, where we as a congregation have a voice and a vote. Our membership dues as a congregation, known as Fair Share, make all that work possible, make the movement possible. So what can I say about this community that you don't already know? About the importance of this place? About what it means to you to be part of a liberal faith and how it is a refuge from hatred? About a religious exploration program that supports our children as they explore the world and develop their own ideas about the divine? About a small and humble church with a big heart and a proud history of answering the call to love, where Black lives matter, immigrants are given sanctuary, reproductive rights are protected, environmental justice is part of our mission, and love is love is love, protecting LGBTQ rights, not just tolerating, but practicing radical hospitality and welcoming. This church has braved the wilderness since 1954, daring greatly and answering the call of love time after time, going against the tides of persecution, oppression, racism, making history by calling the first out gay minister in our denomination, declaring this church a sanctuary back in the 1980s when Central American asylum seekers needed a refuge. And since then, it has continued to attract people like you and me who find in this place a spiritual home, a circle of caring friends, a brave and loving sanctuary, a beloved community where we can participate in meaningful and inspirational worship, in providing pastoral care, in supporting family ministry, in participating in adult religious education, and building a better world through our Peace and Justice Committee. Like all human collectives, this church has seen its share of internal strife and disagreements, but it has never compromised its core values, and it has always risen strong to recommit to its mission to remain a welcoming congregation, to support one another in our quest for meaning, to offer each other compassion, to express our love and commitment to Mother Earth, and to remain united as we work for justice. This is who we are: brave, daring, loving, committed, faithful, trustworthy, creative. But are we rising strong? Some would say not so much in terms of financial sustainability, looking at the future. And that would not be a wrong assessment. It's true that only a handful of people carry almost 75% of our budget. A handful. It's true that we are struggling to be able to pay our fair share to the UUA, that we are struggling to be able to offer a cost of living increase to our staff, that we might have to reduce the worship committee budget, and that if we don't meet our Canvas goal, we'll have to make really, really tough decisions. And yet it is also true that our strength should be measured in connection with our commitment to the principles and values of our faith. It should be measured in the ways that we show up and engage with great bravery to confront injustice anywhere we see it. And in terms of how we care for each other, how our volunteers show up to care for our children, for our building, for the grounds, to offer pastoral care, to make meaningful and beautiful worship services happen, to take our faith out into the streets, to the homeless shelters, and to insist that art, beauty, music, poetry, dance, meditation, and love for our Mother Earth are all valuable and at the heart of our community. If we consider all of the ways we embody unconditional love and dare to express it and fight for it, then we can say, yes, we are daring. Yes, we are brave. Yes, we are faithful. And yes, we are rising strong. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Where does our strength come from in addition to the mountain? Our strength comes from the vision of those who came before us and left a legacy of generosity. Our strength comes from the members who have been faithfully supporting this church, some for 50 years. Our strength comes from each and every one of us, no matter how long ago we signed the membership book. And today, if you haven't signed the book and want to become part of our history, there it is. There it is, waiting for you to bless it with your signature. To pledge is to renew our promise, to renew our vows as Unitarian Universalists, to collectively recommit to social justice, to renew pride in creating a community fostering kindness and compassion, to continue supporting one another as we take risks to dismantle systems of oppression, to encourage sharing our stories, being vulnerable and opening our hearts in order to keep learning and growing together. Our strength comes from our creativity and generosity to pool our resources together to keep the lights on. These lights and the light of hope in our hearts and in the hearts of those who are suffering. Beloveds, we would prefer not to have to make the compromises in the draft budget. More funding would enable us to live into our values in a more powerful way. For example, our commitment to justice includes paying our employees a fair and just wage, and that includes at least keeping up with the cost of living. We have compromised on this in the draft budget, and we regret that. We are committed to supporting our denomination and paying our fair share for the many services provided by the UUA. And it pains us to think that we might not be able to pay our fair share this year. But we do believe that however it turns out, we'll still have a church. We'll still have the things we value most, the loving care we have for one another, our commitment to our families and our children, our commitment to justice and service. We'll still worship together. We'll still find a way to keep our commitments to ourselves and to our community. We'll still have the heart and the soul of our beloved community. Beloveds, together, let us brave this wilderness. Let us dare to trust our own deepest generosity, and let us rise strong. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.